I'm Patrick Carelci.
And I'm Adriana Cortez, and we're the hosts of Red Pilled America, a new storytelling podcast.
Red Pilled America is not another talk show covering the day's news. We are all about telling stories. Stories Hollywood doesn't want you to hear. Stories the media mocks. Stories about everyday Americans that the elites ignore. You could think of Red Pilled America as audio documentaries, and we promise only one thing, the truth.
Visit the iHeartRadio app right now to listen to Red Pilled America.
And there's this headline which somewhat shocked me. Here in Orange County, longtime GOP stronghold now has more registered Democrats than Republicans. And in political circles and in pundit circles, what used to be called Orange County, now they're mockingly saying it's Blue County. And someone I did a lot of TV with and I never had a chance to do any radio with, someone I respect, is Sean Steele, Republican National Committeeman for California. He joins me now on the air. Sean, what is going on in California as you see it?
Well, top of the day, Mo. Well, exciting times in California. I got too many Republicans leaving the state because, well, you got the homeless virus, taking over neighborhoods, suburban areas from San Francisco to Los Angeles, now in Orange County. But that's not the big issue. I mean, obviously it's in front of us. It looks terrible. We see it. It's getting much worse in Los Angeles. Even Dr. Drew tells us it's concerned about bubonic plague, but we have typhus. You have this kind of the third world diseases. But besides the standard of living and the quality of life, our kids are growing up in homes that they can't afford to buy. And that's the greatest challenge in California. We haven't had that phenomena in 150 years, but we've been slating for about 20 years. We've been an out-migration state. That is, more people leave California than come to California. That's why we're losing yet another congressional seat. It's probably going to hit L.A. County with that. So what's happening is that much of our middle-class base, which is generally Republican, are fleeing like hell, going to states like Texas, North Carolina, Florida, making them more Republican, and at the same time, it hurts my party registration. Orange County is now a battleland. The Democrats do have 89 more Democrats than Republicans, 89, not thousands, not hundreds of thousands, but 89 more, and that's historic because it's a flip from the 1970s. We've gone through a whole period of some 40 years. It was once a strong Democrat area, believe it or not, in the 60s and the 70s. Then it became more Republican during the Reagan era. And now the suburbs begin to change. We got density. We got housing that's on top of each other. The white picket fence is disappearing in Orange County. And consequently, a lot of folks are leaving town in a hurry.
Let me ask you this then. If everything that you said is true and Republicans are leaving the state for any number of reasons, myriad of reasons, then is that saying then that the Republicans are just closing up shop in California? How do you reverse such a trend?
Well, now, that's the great questions and big, big, big ideas behind that, too. There's still 5 million Republicans in California. There's more Republicans here than a lot of states have people. So that's an important case. And at the same time, most folks are concerned, or most folks are not real political, but when they think about the quality of life, they have to think, well, how did we get here? What happened to our jobs, the good high-quality jobs? We used to have, literally millions of manufacturing jobs from aerospace to automobiles. They're gone. We had 500,000 people leave in L.A. County during the 90s when aerospace collapsed, the largest collection of engineers, aerospace engineers that the world has ever seen. That's all gone. And what happens is that it's been replaced by a lot lower quality jobs, except for the super elite in Silicon Valley. So instead of having millions of good blue-collar jobs, we have super jobs in Silicon Valley, about 40,000 to 50,000 people. That's really what's supporting California and the state and the state budget. Those kind of numbers don't last very long at the first recession, and that concerns me a good deal. Still in Orange County, we have a huge expanding Asian population, and that is generally right of center, and they're the ones that the party is counting on as that's the growth opportunity. And in fact, most of our elected officers and the Republican Party in Orange County are Asian Americans. We have Philip Chen, we have Stephen Choi in Irvine, Tyler Deep in Little Saigon, Ling Ling Chang, Andrew Doe's a supervisor, Michelle Park Steele, my lovely wife, who's a Korean-American in Newport Beach.
Yes, very nice matter.
We have Lisa Barnett, who's Japanese-American, and Dana Point. So a large number of our Republican leaders, the younger ones, happen to be Asian-Americans. That's the great bet. And these are folks that are successful in one generation, work hard, put a high premium on education, strong families, long-term marriages, and so that's really the kind of the new middle class that Republicans are counting on.
There's something else which is adjacent to this conversation. Whereas the Republicans may not dominate in registrations now, Democratic registrations have also declined thanks to the increase in the no-party preference. What is the message that you are specifically making to young people, the future people who may choose a party or no party at all?
You know, that's the greatest comment I've heard yet from truly from a real journalist. I congratulate you on that. The greatest growth is the NPPs. And the Democrats have suffered with that as well. We have what's called mandatory voting when you go to the DMV. It used to be mandatory registration. It used to be you go to the DMV and you got a driver's license. No. Now the clerk behind the counter who works for the union says, which party do you want to join? And a lot of folks are scratching their head. Well, what do you mean? What does that have to do with my driver's license? Well, the Democrats in Sacramento pass a law, and you got to. And so now you're registered whether you want it or not, basically. And those that say, I don't know, boom, they're automatically NPP. Now, these folks are an animal that most folks can't figure out right now. We don't know if they lean right or lean left, but they lean all over the place. They are voters. It's a good thing that they have an opportunity to vote. Both parties, if they're smart, are going to have to work real hard to find. In Orange County, they're 27%. In other parts of the state, they're the biggest party. And ultimately, we're going to see nonpartisan voters probably dominate, be larger than the Democrats and the Republicans. That's the big story.
Sean, can I get you to hold over for one more segment? I love this conversation. And if people don't know, we have some very funny conversations off air, and I'm tickled to be able to have one of these on air with you. So if you could hang around for one more moment, I'd appreciate it.
Thanks, Paul.
And joining me on the line right now is Sean Steele, who is the Republican National Committee man for the state of California. I was talking to you, Sean, about, well, we know that NPP, their registration numbers have grown. Democrats have declined. Arguably, Republicans have not kept pace. But let's talk about recruitment. I know that you do a lot of work with the local universities, actually national universities and young Republican clubs. What is the message that you are making to these young minds on our college campuses?
Well, I think first you would talk about lifestyle and what your future is. And I think a lot of folks are worrying, you know, I'm taking a class on something that has to do with some archaic major that has no value. And I think a lot more students are a lot more, and millennials are looking at their futures. How can I get a home? What kind of a job can I do to support it? Do I want an anthropological a major of giraffes in the Arctic? Does that make any sense? Well, who's going to hire me for that? And I think the word's getting around, especially with student debt. You've got students that have gotten debt taking junk majors. And I think robust lawsuits ought to be placed against universities for selling lousy classes, lousy professors, and lousy majors that make the kids feel good. They might have a lot of fun, and I think you should have fun in college. But rather than taking a bad class that won't get them anywhere, I'd rather they be drinking in a bar. I mean, it's just, you know, at least they'll have more fun and they'll have something to show for it. So I think what the message is, if you want greater opportunity and greater freedom, and you want to be running your own life without depending on your parents, you better get a real job or a real major that's something that's socially useful, and then look around. And we're mobile. This society's really, really mobile. So I teach at Berkeley once a year. I asked it's a poli-sci class. They're not all poli-sci majors. I said, how many folks plan to stay in California? Over half the hands are leaving. They're not going to stay in California. These bright kids. And unless they're biochemical majors and they have an offer from Google where they get $200,000 a year with an undergraduate degree, they can't afford to live in San Francisco. They can't afford to live in a nice community along the beach because the jobs just won't pay for it. So they'll go to a place like Texas where you know the opportunities are better. There's much more suburban areas, safer neighborhoods, better schools. So that's one of the messages: is economic opportunity. What is your future portend? And so that's something that's terribly important. You know, California now is the number one state in poverty. We have the highest percentage of poor people in America. Not Mississippi, not Alabama. It's California. We got a lot of people living. Families, multiple families living in single units. We got a lot of people that just can't afford, you know, the food and can't afford quality education for their kids, so they have to stick them in bad schools where they have no choice. They don't get school choice. They don't get charter schools in many of their neighborhoods. So we're getting poorer, and yet at the same time, and I tell us the college students, you got a certain elite that's kind of irrelevant. They got so much money they don't care, and they don't deal with poor people. But they certainly like liberal attitudes, and they certainly like liberal social ideas, and they want to be cool. They want to be able to be in high society. So you have this serfdom. You have a new Middle Ages developing in California with huge economic disparity. There's no middle class. It's being pushed out badly. And so those who want to stay and fight, well, it's a fight. It's a struggle. Yesterday, in a Korean community center, some 73 people signed up and registered to vote. I'm happy to say 65 were Republican, 3 were Democrats, and 5 were declined to state. Well, that's in Orange County. That'll help get us back on top. So this battle back and forth in Orange County is going to keep going. We're motivated. The Democrats are motivated, but they got a lot more money than Republicans. They've got government union money that the unions play the biggest and spend the most amount of money in California. They dwarf any private business. They dwarf oil. They dwarf real estate. And so it's a real struggle. So, A, students got to look at their economic future. If they got a good shot in California, go for it. But on the other hand, it's a big country. It's a free country, and they're free to move.
How about this? Let me offer a philosophical question. I know, and you know, generally people get more conservative as they get older. When you're younger, you're much more passionate. You think everything is world-ending in nature. What if conservatives took out the social issues in their message, and this would apply to young conservatives and older conservatives, cared less in terms of platform building, cared less about the immigration stuff, cared less about the social stuff, and just tried to drive home the financial, the economic message, which makes sense and resonates with most people across strata, across demographics? Is that something that you and other conservatives would consider?
Well, there's a continuous debate on it. It's a good debate. It's a valid point. I am a libertarian. I come from the libertarian side of the party. I'm a live and let live kind of person. Don't care about your personal proclivities. I believe that privacy is a paramount importance. I believe that having your own personal lifestyle, as long as it doesn't hurt anybody else, is key. I don't believe the government ought to be snooping and looking and regulating and controlling you. So I'm very much of an individualist supporter. And I think a lot of Republicans are, you know, kind of mind your own business crowd. And that's what I like there. But it's a big party. So you've got, you know, you got a religious element. You got socially conservative elements. Then you got, you know, wide-eyed libertarians and everything in between. You know, on one social issue about prison reform, liberals have talked about that for 50 years, and it was liberals, mostly Joe Biden, that was the big tiger. You know, lock them up if they had crack cocaine, lock them up if they had minor drug offenses, put them in federal penitentiary forever. Ironically, it's Donald Trump, the one that more than any president, more than anybody else, more than Obama, that opened the door and has literally freed thousands of adult black males who are in jail for really relatively minor offenses.
I counter that. I got to jump in there. I can't let that fly because it was President Obama who changed the crime bill of 1994, which had a 100-to-1 crack to cocaine differentiation, lessened that to 18-to-1. That was very significant, specifically in the African American community. Now proceed.
Now, it was significant, but it had virtually no impact on guys and particularly black males in jail. I mean, it took Trump with Jared Kushner and others with a dramatic view of what's going on in federal prisons and, you know, what disutility and how it destroys lives. And so it's become a, you know, it's really taken one of the great liberal agendas and it's taken it out the window for them. And that's the kind of message I think millennials like to hear. Nobody wants to see a bad guy, no matter what their race is, and, you know, get out of jail that's a murderer and that hurts and maims people. But on the other hand, somebody for drug offenses, even social conservatives get that now. Even evangelical Christians get that now. Somebody in for minor drug offenses, that's ridiculous to put them in jail for a long period of time. So I think that's been a turnaround. And look, that's part of that new image. Now, immigration, let's not even go down that road. My wife's an immigrant. She feels very strongly about immigration, but you got to do it right. A, we need more immigrants. B, we need a lot more smart immigrants. C, we've got 4 million people have waited in line, have done the paperwork, have taken the medical exams, have a working knowledge of English, have paid the fees, and now they're being stopped because of the illegal comings from south of the border. I think Democrats are going to lose on that issue really big time.
Hey, Sean, I got to jump in there. I'm so sorry because I'm up against a break. We have to do this more often because I love what you have to say and I love the perspective that you offer. As a matter of fact, I'm going to be hosting tomorrow in for Gary and Shannon. You up to do this again tomorrow?
I'd love to do it. You're a lot of fun, and you're fair and balanced. I know where you should be going.
Who knows what the future will hold. Thank you, Sean Steele. We'll talk
soon. Very good. Thanks.